the notes to page 20, Being a Servant of God, continuation of the doctrine of the bondservant. You all turn to your Bibles to Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. We'll start the lesson. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Verse 15 probably is one of the great testimonies of a man that was following God. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve God. Each believer has to make that volitional decision on whom he is going to serve. You cannot serve two masters. You'll serve one and hate the other. You have to make that decision under whose authority you're going to place your life. Deuteronomy 10:12 teaches us that we are to fear God. That fear is not the fear like fear of the dark, but it's a fear of great respect. A respect for someone that is awesome to you. As Rich Mullen says, my God is an awesome God. And that carries a connotation of great amount of respect. And not only respect, the so great of respect, that's a phenomenal amount of love. We are to walk in His ways, to love Him, and to serve Him with all our heart and soul. This was written to Israel, but is acceptable and expected of us today to serve the Lord with all our heart and soul and spirit. Everything that makes us who and what we are to serve the Lord. He should be our number one priority. Should be our focus of our lives. Is it always going to be the case? No, because we always drop the ball. We're human beings. But He gave us this phenomenal way to get back on the road. He gave us confession. He gave us the ability to be useful again. Ephesians 5, 1 through 7 teaches us that we're to serve the Lord. We are to only serve God. We have been saved out of the slave market of sin. We have been taken out of the clutches of death and given life. A great cost, a great price was paid to buy us out. And therefore, we are to serve only God. Matthew 4:10, Matthew 6:24, Luke 4:8, Luke 16:13, Romans 7:6, Colossians 3:24. By our service to God, we will be a witness for our Lord, therefore glorify the Father. The Word of God is perfectly clear. If we glorify the Son, we are glorifying the Father. Because it says, I am in my Father, and you are in me. It's very clear that our job here is to be a witness. Our salvation is to be such a point that we can't wait to share it with somebody. That we want to share it with somebody. We don't want to hold it in to ourselves. We don't want to hide our candle. We don't want to hide our light. We want to be that witness. We want to be known by our fruit. We want to glorify the Father, both in this life, and we want to have something that we can lay at God's feet after the fire. We don't want to go up there and pull out our pockets and moths come out. We want to be able to have something to give to our Lord. We want to glorify the Father both in this life and in the future. As faithful servants, we are to listen to the Word of God. As one of the obligations, responsibilities of a believer is to relegate themselves to the Word of God, to put themselves under the authority of the Word of God and listen to it. The Word of God is alive and powerful. The Holy Spirit teaches us. It takes the Word and uses it in our life, and we're to listen to that. We're to listen to that ministry, that small, still voice. That voice that gives us guidance. And our guidance comes from the Word of God. I'm not teaching you hear voices and that kind of stuff. I am teaching there is that movement of the Holy Spirit teaching our souls the will of God for our lives. Servants are to pray for their place of worship. I talked about this morning. You are to pray for your place of service. The Jews were commanded to pray for the tabernacle and for the temple. Carry that into the church age. We are to pray for what God has given us. He has given us this building. He's given us air conditioning. He has given us the finances in order to pay for this building, to keep the bills paid, to keep the lights on. He's given this. In His grace, He's provided us the means. And therefore, we are to pray for it. We are to be thankful for what we have. And we are to remember what God has given to us. And we are to use what He has given to us. If that computer back there, that Robert back there is sitting at, if we took that computer and set it in the room and said, well, the Lord provided it for us, someday we'll set it up and use it, I guarantee you it'll be taken from you. Guarantee you. If you don't use what God gives you, you're going to lose it. Put it to use. Pray for it. Pray for the ministry that these recordings have. Pray for that outreach. And it does have outreach. And that we can rejoice in God the Father that we do have outreach. That there is evidence of spiritual strength. And when you see that with newcomers, when you see that with spiritual growth of those that are here, we can see that with the spiritual leadership of our spiritual leaders, the growth of our pastor, the protection of our pastor, the protection of this building, the protection that God has given us. And we are to pray for these things. We are to rejoice. We are to give glory. We are to bless the Father. We are to pray for God's provisions, and I think I just hit that pretty hard. We are to pray for it. What God has given to you personally, your job, finances, the ability of shelter, to have shelter, food on the table, the finer things of life that God has given you. These all we can be thankful for. And we're to pray for them. How many people ever think about praying for their vehicle? Yeah. Something God gave you. Be thankful for it. And boy, I'll tell you, there's a testimony of God's grace allowing vehicles to run. And I can be a witness to that. We are to please God as servants. We are slaves. And slaves are servants of God. We are to do what pleases God. We are to allow God to have His good pleasure with us. And that means operating in the will of God. Doing what He wants you to do. operating in your spiritual gift, whether you know what your spiritual gift is or not. Because in growth, your spiritual gift will be exposed. We are to do God's work. Doing God's work, we will please God. Mark 13:34. We are to be known as the servants of the Most High God. From Acts 16:17. We are to be known as servants of the Most High God, standing for those higher things. Sometimes you stand alone in the eyes of man, but you are never, ever alone. Because there is a very strong promise in the Word of God that be strong and courageous in the Word of God. Follow my commandments, follow my mandates, abide in my Word, and wherever you go, there I will be. We are never alone. Maybe in the eyes of man, such in the case of Peter, when he was released from jail, he was severely beaten, he was abused, released from jail, and said, "Don't mention that man's name again." He walks right out of jail, goes straight to the steps, and he preaches Christ. Standing alone. He was not alone. The power that we have behind us to be able to be servants of God is phenomenal. It is a supernatural power. We are to present ourselves to God as servants. Romans 6:16. And I would like to add Romans 12:1 there. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. The problem is that we keep on getting off. Say, "Well, no, I've had enough of that. I don't want any more." But then again, we get back in fellowship. We get back right with God. We're ability to be used by God. And we get ourselves back on that living sacrifice, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord for His good pleasure. We, as servants of God, we are to preach Christ. Paul was perfectly clear when he went into the church at Corinth, when he's talking about, "I came to you in weakness and trembling and fear." Fear, weakness, and trembling. He says, "I come to you knowing nothing except Christ crucified." He came to them to preach Christ. Not to lift himself up, but to preach Christ. And he preached it with authority, dogmatically, with assurance. We are only to serve the Lord. We are not to serve man. By serving the Lord, we will be a witness unto man. We are to only serve God. Romans 1:9 and Luke 4:8. As I stated this morning, if you didn't get it on one point, you'll get it on the next point, because I guarantee you I'll repeat myself. All our service is to be rendered unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to follow Christ, and where He is, there we will be. Turn to your Bibles to John 12, verse 23. John 12, verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Lord is announcing to His apostles, it's time. I got to do my work. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, and it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Christ is telling them that He has to die on the cross, because the fruit that it is going to bear is going to be immeasurable. You cannot measure the grace and the love that the Lord Jesus Christ produced by the awful price He paid on the cross. It says the grace that God has for it is beyond anything we can think of, anything we can imagine. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. We know for a fact that God exalts those that are humble. And service unto God is a humbling experience. We serve the Lord knowing that He, God the Father, has given us an inheritance in Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't serve God to get something. But we do. We allow God to work through us. He does all the work. He's done all the planning. He's provided all the grace. He's provided all the ability. And on top of that, He gives us. He gives us a reward. Those that are faithful will be rewarded. It is a plan of grace that only a supreme God, only a God that is full of grace can come up with. We as man, we can't even imagine it. And therefore, we have, because we are believers, we have that inheritance with Christ. Something that we neither earn or deserve. We are the serve. I'm sorry. The Lord stands next to us because we serve Him and we belong to Him. We are members of the royal family of God. We are a chosen people. We are a particular people. We are a people set aside unto God. And we serve Him because the Lord is standing next to us. He stands with us. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:24. We serve a living and true God, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. We know our God is living and true. The non-believer does not have that. Non-believer has no hope, no assurance. But we do, because we know that God is able to deliver us and keep us until He calls us home. We are to have grace in order to serve our Lord. You cannot serve the Lord unless you are grace-oriented. In order to be grace-oriented, you must submit yourself to the will of the Father. You must develop grace. And grace doesn't come to you overnight. Grace has to be learned. It has to be developed. As you mature, more and more grace you will have. The more impersonal love and the more personal love you have for God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the more you grow, the more that you grow in grace and knowledge, the more grace you will develop. Because you are developing that Christ-like attitude. Hebrews 12:28 teaches that principle. All believers will in one day serve the Lord forever and ever. There will come a time that every believer will serve the Lord. What's different is when. Are you going to serve the Lord now? Praising Him, glorifying the Father in this life, being His servant in this life, building up those gold, silver, and precious stones that we may give back to God? Are you going to serve Him empty-handed in eternity future? Here we have a choice. Here we have the volitional decision to make unto our Lord to serve Him, to put our lives into His hand, that He will hold us by His powerful right hand. We have that volitional decision now. In eternity future, we will serve Him. We no longer have an old sin nature. We'll never have a corrupted body. We'll have a glorified body, so therefore service to Him will be an absolute joy. But why don't we start now? Why don't we do what we're supposed to do now? Our service should be unto the Lord and also to each other. Even our Lord came to minister. Even our Lord came as a bondservant. On the first advent of our Lord came down as a servant to men. Second advent, He's not coming that way. He's coming as a military commander, King of Kings, and He's going to set things straight. He's not coming as a servant. But the first time, He set the example for us. He set the example of the Christian way of life, that service to each other. That love, that special love we're to have to each believer. Holding on to each other. Exhorting each other. Coming along the side of another believer and standing with him in the time of trouble. And in the good times. Israel had a real bad problem always running to the Lord when they were in trouble. Lord, save us. Get us out of this mess we got in. They got out of the mess. Things start going good, and the first thing they did, they got themselves right back into another mess. We do the same thing. The hardest test for us to pass is the test of prosperity. That's why each and every believer is to remember each other in prayer. For that believer that does go into the test of prosperity, or in this case, as a corporate body, going into the aspects of prosperity, that they don't fall into that trap of pride. Look what we're doing on our own. Isn't this great? Isn't this special? We need to pray for them and keep them in our minds. Keep each other close to our hearts. Take a moment of time in the day and take that time and dedicate it to prayer for others. Even our Lord did that. When our Lord knew He was going to the cross, He prayed for others. We are even to serve our masters as unto the Lord. We all have a job. We all have people above us, people in authority. And we are to serve them as unto the Lord. We are to do our job as if the Lord is our boss. And He is. Doing that job unto the Lord. That boss might be the real pain. He might belittle you, condescend you. He might put you down, but you don't take revenge. You put that man or that woman into the hands of God. You give them to God, and you pray for them. And because of your outward appearance, your Christ-like walk might be that witness to them to bring them to Christ. And they go, no matter what I do to this guy, he does it. No matter how I mistreat him, he still does the job and he does it good. He doesn't throw a fit and he doesn't cuss back and he doesn't yell. He holds his tongue and he does his job. And there's something special about that person. I got to know what it is. What a witness. There was a poem I read not too long ago. It says, I am my neighbor's Bible, and he reads me every day. Well, you are your boss's Bible, and he reads you every day. Those of us that have believers as bosses, what a beautiful fellowship. Those of us that don't, we can be a witness. Through love, serve one another. Galatians 5:13. We serve each other. Those that teach Sunday school class, they serve. The ones that serve in the nursery. The ones that clean the building. The ones that come on work day. The ones that run the tape ministry. The ones that give. The ones that pray. The ones that show up for class. are serving each other. Your showing up to class is not only a witness for the pastor, it is a witness to others sitting around you. It is a service to others. It is a witness to the believer. It is the edifying of the saints. Preaching Christ as servants of God and man. Our lives should preach Christ. And if somebody comes up to witness to you, you don't blow them off and say, I don't have the time. Or you don't get timid. Be strong. If you don't know what to say, pray. Ministry of the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. And you'll be surprised what comes out of those cobwebs. That comes out of the recesses of your memory. The Holy Spirit reaches down there and pulls it out and gives it to you to use. Your volition is correct. Your motivation is correct. And your mental attitude is correct. The Holy Spirit will work mightily through you. Christian service. This is where I wanted to get to tonight, and I thank the Lord for allowing me to get this far. Christian service makes life noble. Turn to your Bibles, Mark 10, verse 43. Christian service makes life noble. Mark 10, verses 43-44. Yet it shall be not so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give His life a ransom for many. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to serve. Don't exalt yourself. Allow God to do it. If you get a promotion because you finagled, you were a man pleaser, you backstabbed, you walked up the ladder on everybody else's head and got that promotion, it is no promotion. But when you get that promotion from God, no one will take it from you. No man will remove that promotion from you. We are to be servants to each other. Our Lord Jesus Christ came and laid the groundwork, showed us the way. He was our example. We're to imitate Christ. Christian service shows, stands out. It's our example of neighborness. Turn your Bible to Luke 10, verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, It is written in the law. What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Christian service develops love for each other. The love for the neighbor. Christian service is Christ-like. If you would, turn your Bibles to John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon, Son to betray Him. Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which He had girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, Lord, are You washing My feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing You do not understand now, but You will after this. Christ was performing a service. He was washing their feet. And He made it clear, you don't understand it now, but You will. And after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, this object lesson was made clear, that Peter was going to have a job to do, and that was to serve God as a minister unto men. Peter opened the door to Jerusalem. Peter opened the door to Samaria. And Peter opened up the door to the Gentiles. The doors of ministry. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter's was to the Jews. But Peter was given a special privilege to be able to go and open up that door, to be a servant unto the dogs. They had no respect for Gentiles. And here Peter had to go and be a witness to the Gentiles. That's why the object lesson with the sheep and the animals was so important to Peter. Because God was telling Peter, what I call clean, don't you dare call it unclean. That the Gentiles have now been brought into a new man. James 1:21-27 teaches us to be doers of the word, not only hearers, just as Christ did His Father's work on earth, from John 5:36. We are to be doers of the word. Our faith should have feet. If you go up to a believer and tell them to be warm and well fed, and you do not provide the means for them to do it, you are not showing your faith. Your faith is shown by supplying the needs. Put feet to your faith. Faith works. Salvation is by faith. We don't work to get saved. But after our salvation by faith, we become servants of God. Therefore, we're doing God's work. Faith works. And we're sitting there. And something that in my study today, I found that made this verse perfectly clear. You sit in Bible class over and over and over, and you just suck in all the Word of God. And you keep on sucking in and sucking in, but you don't put it to work. Guess what it leads to? Christian arrogance. Taking in the Word of God, only taking it in, and not putting it to work in your life leads to arrogance. It makes this verse something that I never realized before, that not being a doer of the word leads to arrogancy. Absolutely floored me when I saw that today. Christian service demonstrates love. When you give, that's Christian service. When you sing songs during the song services, that's Christian service. When you are doing it in fellowship, you're glorifying God, but you're also loving the saints. Christian service demonstrates love. Loving Christ, we will feed His sheep. In Hebrews it says, what's wrong with you people? Why are you still struggling over the basic doctrines? You all should be teachers now. put away the milk. Get on the meat. We all should preach Christ. And we feed each other. I said this earlier, that when you come and you sit yourselves under the authority of the pastor teacher, and you're paying attention to what he's saying, you're taking in the Word of God, you're feeding the pastor. At the same time, the pastor's feeding you. It is a two-way witness. It's a demonstration of love. The pastor is showing his love because he's taking time to study and he's taking the time to give out the Word. You're showing your love by paying attention to the Word of God. And guess what? It takes you out of the picture. Puts Christ in there. It no longer becomes you or the pastor the issue. The whole issue is Christ. That love for Christ. Love one another from Romans 12:10. And have a love for all mankind. From Romans 13:11 through 14. We as believers should have a love for all mankind. Is this a personal, sloppy, slobbering love? No. This is a relaxed mental attitude. This is an impersonal love. This is a love that we have for the unsaved, that we wish they would be saved. Because remember, God the Father loved us first. He gave us His Son. And we should have that same love that God the Father had when He gave His Son for us. We should have that for the non-believer. We should be saddened when a non-believer goes on, dies without Christ. Just think. That one could have been the believer that finished the body of Christ. Remember, nobody's going to go to hell. Nobody's going to die if they're on positive volition to God. If they die without Christ, it is their own fault. But we still should have that love. That love, that desire to witness to the unsaved. And then, for believers, we are to love each other. This is a special love. This is the love of the beloved. Our Christ is the beloved. And we are in Him. Therefore, we are also the beloved. We are the beloved in Christ. And we are to have that love for each other. That strong love. And in some cases, that is a strong personal love. What if there's a believer that makes the hair stand on the back of your head? That's okay. Have a relaxed mental attitude around them. Don't fail the people testing. Give the man to the Lord and love him. Love him in the Lord. He's a believer. He's in Christ. You don't see him, you see Christ. So you're able to relax. You're able to relax around that believer. You're able to love them in Christ. Preaching Christ as servants of God and man. I know I backed up a whole lot. Christian service lightens life's burdens. We're going to have trials. We're going to have sufferings. That's one thing that's promised in the Christian way of life. We're going to suffer. Either through self-induced misery or undeserved suffering to prove the Word of God in your life. Either way, we're going to have suffering. But Christian service lightens life's burdens. That love for Christ, that standing in the Word, because you know, who can you go to in the time of need? You can go to God the Father. And not only in time of need, in the good times too, we can also boldly go to the throne room of God. He is abundantly available help. Always. Believers are to help and love one another. From Galatians 5:13 and 15. And that I would like to read. Galatians 5:13 through 15. For you, brethren, that's believers, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. We have been set free from sin. We have been placed in the church age under the principles of the law of liberty. But I'm here to tell you there's a law that is greater than that. The law of love. Where you do not exercise your law of liberty to make a fellow believer stumble. You do not use your law of liberty as an excuse to commit sin. There is a higher principle, the law of love. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is everyone you come in contact with. Everyone. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Backbiting, church divisions, schisms, fights within the body of Christ causes the failure of the local church. There is nothing nice. There is nothing pleasant about a church split. I've been in a few. I've known of a few. And I've known the awful things, the absolute vicious things that are said during a church split. They devoured one another. Instead of serving each other in love, they devoured each other. And in some cases, some churches are no longer around. That light, that lamp has been put out. We are to help and love each other. It's not a Christian right. We do not have quote-unquote Christian rights. We have obligations. We have responsibilities. We have honors. We do have one right. That's to pay for the penalty of sin that we were born under. But by the grace of God, He poured out salvation upon us. Grace upon grace has given us the opportunity to have an inheritance, to be in Christ, leaving us of the penalty of sin and giving us grace gift. And under that grace gift are many, many principles. Adoption, royal family, a particular people. We get to keep these things in mind as we look towards each other. We look towards each other in love. We are to share each other's burdens. We are all members of one body. Austin Bible Church is not a body unto itself. It's a local assembly. We are a corporate body of believers that meet together under the authority of a local pastor teacher. But we are members of the body of Christ. Westside Bible Church are also members of that same body. Gulf Coast Bible Church is also members of that body. Baraka Church is also members of that body. Believers throughout this world, all members of that body. And when one of us suffer, we all suffer because we're members of that body. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice because we are members of that body. It is a phenomenal privilege, honor, responsibility to be able to share with each other. Not building up walls between this church and another church. Well, I don't like the way you teach this doctrine, so I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. I'm sorry, that doesn't cut it. You know, we are to stand. Now, if he's teaching out and out false doctrine, yeah, cut yourself off from that. But if it's disagreement in order of words, in semantics, Put it to the side. Don't part fellowship with a fellow believer because he happens to be a Southern Baptist. Hey, you're Southern Baptist, and I'm a Bible churchgoer. I'm sorry, I can't have anything to do with you. No, he is a member of the body of Christ. And if the man's operating in the Spirit, you can have fellowship with him. It's because they have legalisms. Hey, remember, judge not, lest you be judged. Romans chapter 15 teaches us very clearly that we are to exercise in non-judgmental decisions towards the weaker believer. If you're the stronger believer, relax. Find what you can fellowship in. The love of others in Christ, teaching them Christ, will give you strength to face the trials and tribulations of life. The love for others in Christ, the love that we have for each other, the love that we have for Christ, will give us strength. And that's one of the principles, developing spiritual strength, being able to face these trials and tribulations that we have to go through. Because everything that we need, God has given to us to complete that tribulation, not escape it. Is to complete it. To see it through to its end. And if you happen to know of a believer that is having particular spiritual struggles, come alongside them. Put your arm around them. Ask them, is there anything I can do for you? Can I pray for you? Can we pray together? Can we open up the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say about this subject? We are to steer one another up for love and good work. Christian service, living our life as unto the Lord, we are to stir each other up for good works. And for love. You see a believer faltering? Stir them up. See if he needs a word of encouragement. See, the doctrine of love has so much to do with encouraging each other. Coming alongside. Sharing. Loving each other. Everything is for the edification of the saints so that each one of us can fulfill that work of service, building the body of Christ. As God's servants, believers have specific responsibilities. Christians are to leave all and to follow Christ. Philippians 3, 7 and 8 and Luke 18, 22. Leave it all and follow Christ. Pick up your cross. Follow me. What he's saying, whether I leave my car behind, I leave my children, I leave my wife, I leave my dog, leave my home. No. He's saying set your priorities properly. Leaving the priorities of this world behind and setting your priorities properly. Placing God first, His Word first. And then all these other things will fall into its proper place. You put God first. You put nightly Bible reading first. Nightly meditation in the Word of God and prayer. Your relationship with God first. You'll be surprised how your family relationship improves. You'll be surprised the greater love you have for your spouse. That nightly meditation in the Word of God. That service. And that nightly meditation on the Word of God. That time that you set aside every night to open up the Word of God and read it together as a family makes your spiritual life stronger. And it makes your family stronger. It develops more and more love for each other. A stronger love. Because your love is coming through Christ. phenomenal amount of power, phenomenal amount of love. Believers are to render undivided service. Our service to God should have no distractions. Remember, the Bible is quite clear, we cannot serve two masters. Because you will serve one and you will hate the other. Which master are you going to follow? Joshua said, as for myself and my family, we will follow God. He set his priorities correct. He was rendering undivided service to God. Everything else will fall into its proper place. Set ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll give you these things. They're just things anyway. They're just things. Your car, it's just a thing. They're just things. But the Word of God is eternal. Your relationship with God is eternal. The fellowship that we have with our Lord and Savior is eternal. The Word of God that you place into your soul and spirit is eternal. Your gifts and rewards are eternal. There's your priority. I think the rest of this I will cover the next time the Lord brings us together. If God the Father deems fit to forestall the allowance of His Son to come and call us home. Thank you all for coming tonight. Shall we pray? Dear Father, thank you for this time we had to study the principles gathered from your word. We want to praise your name for men that have come before us that laid the foundations through your power. Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, giving us the God-breathed words for our edification. And the others, they have written the Word of God under the power of the Spirit. We want to thank you for these. And the men that you have felt pleasure in, according to your will, to learn, to develop doctrines, to lay groundwork that we may grow off of. Thank you for this time. Dear Father, watch over us as we return home. And again, we praise your name for all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.